Podcasting 2.0 for August 30th, 2024, episode 191. We love Wonky. Hello, everybody. It's Friday once again. What a board meeting we have planned for you. Just take a look at your handouts. We have quite the agenda because this is where we discuss all things podcasting, all that has been, all that is, and all that ever will be. This is the only place you need to be. Of course, it's best if you hang out in the boardroom live. We are the only boardroom that does non-director outreach during weekdays. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who will make up to $100 million with this podcast. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, the pod sage, Mr. Dave Jones.
That's only if I meet all my metrics, all my targets.
Your KPIs, your metrics. You got to do a couple live shows. We got your merch. Your merch is in there. Your merch.
My listener acquisition targets, yes.
Oh, man.
My lats. I'm doing my lats.
Yes. Did you get your GM?
What is my guaranteed minimum?
Your guaranteed minimum, yes. It will give you the guaranteed minimum.
I'm struggling with the Rodecaster here. I need you
me.
Super loud in my headphones.
Okay.
But I don't want myself super loud.
Does this
loud
help? Does this work?
that's horrible. Never do that again.
What's going on? Well, am I coming in on a channel?
So if I crank...
Jack my channel, man. Jack my channel.
See, you is must, that going to make... it's already jacked. It's as high as it'll go. And so if I crank my headphone volume up, then I hear myself
really
like
loud.
A million decibels.
Yeah, really loud. Huh.
I need you louder than me. I don't know how to make that.
Okay, so what the fader that's open that has me, right?
That's the chat channel.
Okay, now press the button above it, the little rubber button.
Live tech support, yes.
Yes, I'm doing press this. The rubber button, and you see there level and a plus and a minus
negative
sign.
12 dBs.
Okay, well, I should never be at negative 12. I mean, if anything, I should be at 11, plus 11. Okay.
All right, we're going
How's
up.
That? Is it working?
Bombs.
Did that work?
That it sounds amazing.
Okay,
yes,
you're welcome.
So much better.
You're welcome. You can now boost me for that live tech support.
And so I can, let's say I can turn myself. Oh, that's so much better.
Yay.
You're at par. Yeah, I bet you're at par now. I'm at par.
Oh, good. Well,
you should be. Zero.
Zero dog biscuits. Beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I saw two stories this week and, you know, it's this new marketing, which is, shocker, it's lying. The Kelce brothers mega deal cements new era for podcasts. What new era? They've got a guaranteed minimum and they can make up to. Yeah, this is all based on advertising. I'm sure they're getting a lot of money in guaranteed minimum, but that's going to be limited. This is all marketing and it gets everyone all jacked. I still have a shot. I have a shot at the Kelce brothers money.
Sure you do.
Yeah. Now, I will be the first to say that most of the TV money that goes into streaming is all NFL in America. I mean,
there's so much
money going into NFL. It's unbelievable.
Sports in general. I mean, that's the only thing that still makes any money.
But I was hearing a whole report on CNBC the other day as I was driving back from San Antonio to get my real ID driver's license.
San Antone.
And the league is now allowing some teams to take private equity money, which has been
really.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's never been allowed before. So, you know, people are going to sell. There's billions of dollars will be made.
Private equity is just, they're lights out, right? I mean, they've just been gobbling up everything they can. They're so desperate for money since rates went up. I mean, they're just trying to, they're buying stuff that just doesn't make any sense now.
In fact, there's a lot of people that say that the next crash could come from private equity money.
It would not surprise me.
Yeah.
They're so desperate for a return.
Hey, is that you crackling or is that me? I hope it's not me.
No, you may have heard me have my mouth full with
no, no, no. I'm hearing something weird coming through the channel. Sometimes the Rodecaster just takes a nutty. It's happened about four times and then you have to reboot the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, see, the next
I'm hearing it now. I'm not
the next
that.
Time it happens. It's toast. It's just it's not coming back.
No, don't say. I think it's me, Dave. Let me see. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. I might have to. Let me see. 1, 2. All right, one.
Bounce it.
Well, no, it's only when you're talking. Maybe it's yours.
Is it mine?
You want to do a simultaneous reboot?
Let's double bounce.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to stop.
Boot.
And we're back.
Man,
sorry about that. Yeah, it happened. This is now the fifth time. I'll keep track of it.
Is it your road? I hope you have a backup roadcaster in the freezer because this thing's going. It's gonna die.
No. I have the Duo, which is in the road kit, which I have to test tomorrow because we're leaving Monday for my birthday trip to Mexico.
That's right.
But we will be doing shows, so it's not really a vacation. And, I had, I gave my, Audio Sigma Pod Mobile to Jimmy and Annette because they wanted a backpack studio. And even though, you know, the levels were too hot and the room was, you know, they just did it like basically in the kitchen. So sound is bouncing off everywhere. They got slap everywhere. But I got to tell you that the processing on that thing is better than the Rodecaster, especially the noise gate. It is beautiful.
Why'd you give it away? I thought you needed something to test the Curry One with.
He's going to be he is my beta tester. So he's going to test it.
Okay.
And also he needs it because he's got a Duo at the church and they built a studio, but you know, when they travel and so he needs a kit. So,
Kitted him out.
Yeah. I kitted him out. Yes, indeed. So anyway, we were talking about that. What are you drinking?
LaCroix Pure.
Oh, yes. Very nice. So I think all these mega deals, you know, it's, it gets everybody all excited, but it's, you know, especially, I mean, there's, it doesn't seem very likely that Amazon really gave them $100 million and said, good luck to you.
There's so many ways to announce $100 million deal without actually spending any money whatsoever.
Well, I just did that. You will make up to $100 million with this podcast. It's obvious. And the one that was really a piece of, you know, as far as I'm concerned, propaganda, which came indirectly through Bloomberg, was Pod is dead.
What is that?
Oh, you didn't see this article? That was all over the social. Podcasting evolved away from Apple and towards YouTube? Oh, yes. Yes, YouTube. YouTube didn't even show up to podcast movement, as far as I know, or barely. They're giving up, people. Trust me on this. YouTube made their push. They've got to tighten the belt. It's all AI. There's no money in podcasting for them.
Did you see the NPR Joy Czar?
The Joy Czar?
Yes.
What?
They have a czar of joy.
No.
Yes.
Where would I find said czar?
It's a Bloomberg story. Let's see.
Goodness gracious.
Bloomberg can't, you know.
So they have so they can't afford a podcasting crew, but they hired a Joy Czar.
Yeah. This was in...
You're right. Here it is. National Public Radio confronts election season with a Joy Czar.
And this is from evidently an internal memo leaked over to Ashley Carman. And she says,
this is dumb.
So here's the, you know, the thing about NPR is we wondered, you know, aloud a while back, like why, what's their strategy?
Yeah.
Their strategy is clearly, it's gone from try to grow your audience more diverse to keep the audience that you have at all costs. This is what this is a separate memo obtained by Bloomberg and sent this week from Edith Chapin, acting chief content officer, suggests NPR is making a concentrated effort to not only increase its radio listener base, older millennials, Gen X and boomers, but ensure the people they already reach do not leave. This is a quote from the memo, from the internal memo. More than two thirds of our broadcast audience is over 45, but for more than 5 years, the only age demographic that has grown in that audience are the over 65.
Yeah, of course, radio's dying. That's the big secret. joys
All
are.
This supports our broader goal to better understand and serve the curious, an audience that reflects the full diversity of America and where we see enormous potential for growth across platforms that we can't seem to achieve.
Unbelievable.
I mean, the joys are thing, I think, like, because what they tried to, you know, they in a, at a time when NPR is being is hemorrhaging audience.
Yes.
And even according to the New York Times comments section, it's because it's so, you know, left leaning, clearly partisan that they can't, that even the left listeners don't even find it interesting anymore.
if you're able to alienate the left, then you've really screwed the pooch. Yeah.
I mean, that according to that story in the New York Times, that's basically the issue there. They've gotten so hyper left partisan, and they've painted themselves into a corner now because they've alienated so much of the rest of their potential audience that all they have left is just sort of like this very political, a United States political left. And so now they have to do things like appoint a joy czar, taking a term out of the Democratic nominee campaign.
Yeah.
In order to try to hold on to that last sliver of audience they have. When you get to that point, it doesn't matter if you're a left-leaning outlet or a right-leaning outlet or whatever. If you paint yourself into a sort of an ideological corner that way, you're going to become a slave to one small section of audience, and you are screwed.
So this is the first big move, I guess, by the new CEO, Catherine Meyer.
I guess a strong move, Kat.
Very Kate. Strong. Yeah, great move, Kate. Katie. We'll just call her Katie.
Katie.
So the couple of interesting things going on since our last board meeting. I do have some reports. Did everyone get the handouts?
I've got mine.
Okay. Well, I have the PowerPoint.
I'll share with, I'll share with Midas.
Just take one off the top and pass it on. I had two calls. I'll start with the Zebedee call I had today.
Yes, the call that I desperately wanted to attend but could not because I had a meeting.
Well, that's okay. It was a short, you know, we had half an hour planned, and Katie, who is the Zebedee lady, you recall, the one that you met at Bands of Bitcoin, who listens to this podcast, I might point out. So she got her call out.
Hey, Katie.
She also hit me with an in the morning, which was like, whoa, okay.
Oh, wow. That's strong.
Chief Technology
Katie
Officer.
Katie from Zebedee, also not the CEO of NPR.
No. Ben, the CTO, and Andre, the CSO, which I think is Chief Strategic Officer? Strategy Officer?
Safety. Chief Safety
Officer. No, he's not safety. No, he seemed more like a strategy guy. And very familiar with what we're doing, of course, because Zebedee is the wallet provider for Fountain and for Wavelake. And very friendly group. Nice call. We missed you dearly. I think I represented well enough. They're very familiar with what we're doing. Understand, they say, how can we help? Well, when someone says that to me, I'm just like, oh.
I know. This is how, I've been on so many of these calls with you.
Well,
somebody says, how can we help? Yeah. You're like, let me get my
hold
paper.
Hold on. I got my Remarkable right here. I have some notes.
I will tell you exactly how you can help. Yeah.
And I did. And I said, hey, what we really need is we need an API for the podcast apps to be able to talk to so that we can do value for value. I talked about, and it turns out it's actually interesting. They had created a whole Keysend infrastructure and their API, which they never used. And when Fountain came along, they were like, oh, crap. Well, we can use this. Yeah. So Ben was like, you know, the tech guy is like, I was so happy with that. So we had a nice chat. I explained what we're looking for. And now the benefit of they basically their main business is games. You know, from in-game money, et cetera, for buying stuff and selling stuff. And so they have MTLs. I'm sorry. I got to get the acronyms down.
MTL. Wait, let me guess what that means. MTL. minimum transaction limit.
Not even close. Money transmitter license.
Oh, okay.
So they have money transmitter licenses. And okay. So, you know, what I went for the full jugular. I said, what I really want is I want an API so that every podcast app can say, hey, you want a wallet? Click here. And that and it creates a wallet right there for you. Don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we have that. That is, in fact, what Fountain and what Wavelake have. Now, what's interesting, I learned a little bit about their business. In order to fulfill adhere to their MTL, KYC, LMNOPs, they have to, the minute you sign up through, so if you create a wallet on Fountain or on Wavelake, they immediately, so you hit their API and there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens. They're checking the IP address of the person who signed up. Basically, they're trying to find out if the person who just created a wallet is a bad guy.
A terrorist.
A terrorist or a money launderer or something like that.
Okay.
And so they actually offer that as a service. And
terrorism, you know, checking as a service.
Terrorism as a service. Yes. I got to write that down. Task. But that, you know, they have a pretty hefty fee for that on a monthly basis, which is $500. To which I said, that's fantastic. 99.9% of our app developers cannot afford that.
No, no way.
No, I said that there's no way. And I said, you know, what we had with Albi, and before that LMPay, and before that even with Sphinx and the stuff that we've had has been, basically take a piece of the transaction. The listeners seem to be okay with it. They just see it as a wallet fee. It's not a big deal. But they explained to me in more detail than I should probably divulge. There's a lot of stuff that goes on to make sure you're not a terrorist as a service.
Yeah, I bet.
And I appreciate that. Then they said, well, how about this? Would it be okay if people created a wallet on Zebedee and then connected that to their podcast app? I said, that would be fine. And I said, well, we can do significantly. And, you know, the $20 a month came out, which, you know, even that may be steep for some of our app devs. But shit, I'll give you $20 a month to keep it.
Yeah, right.
I will.
Yeah.
What Ben proposed was, how about OAuth 2? So you can connect your Zebedee wallet through like you're logging with Gmail or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that sounds pretty good. I think most people are comfortable. In fact, I think people are even more comfortable knowing that. If you go, I connected through my Gmail. Okay. You know, I think people are comfortable with that. You do that all the time, log in with Gmail or log in with something else. And so what they propose is they will send us a document with these different tiers that we can then share with the group and they'll open it up for us. They'll open it up for business.
Now, is this something that they're having to create or is this something they already have?
I think I think they already have the OAuth 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I'm like, okay. I mean, I just pretend that I knew what I was talking about. Well, that sounds great. What would you have said, Dave, in the meeting?
I'm just thinking this through because Oscar is essentially doing the same. He's going to do a demo he emailed us about it this morning. He's going to do a demo of the Fountain Strike.
Just if I can just say as a side note,
okay.
Boardroom, I hear you. All right, I was like, well, you shouldn't do it with Gmail. That's how they get you. Blah, blah. Hey, we're just trying to move this forward, and if everybody should still be able to be sovereign and do whatever you want. Fact of the matter is, people feel very comfortable logging in with Gmail. In fact, I do it sometimes. I have a Gmail account just for that. ChatGPT, log in with Gmail. I don't use it for anything else. So, you know, it's like, come on. We need to move this forward. And if we're all going to get stuck on, and it's not just Gmail, you can log in with other things too. OAuth 2. It's OAuth 2. Sorry.
So signing up, so you would go sign up for a wallet and you can connect your app to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing that Oscar is building as a demo is doing that exact thing with Strike.
Strike. Yeah. I told them.
And so if you like, it would be not, it's basically an OAuth connection to Strike.
Mm-hmm.
What would be, you know, if there was a standardized connection.
So you could switch around?
Yeah. So like, you know, I'm imagining, you know, Cast-O-Matic.
Right.
If Cast-O-Matic says, says, okay, well, do you want to connect your Lightning wallet? And I say, yeah. It says, well, okay, which one do you want? Strike, Zebedee?
Right. Nice.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what Zebedee's thing looks like, and then compare that to what Strike's thing looks like. And then we could
make it simple.
I'm thinking that I could take what those things look like and sort of like put it into a document that says the OAuth thing should be the same. That's standard.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get the token, the OAuth token, the API language you're speaking with the wallet could be different. So then,
right.
Okay, here's sort of like a abstraction layer document that says, yeah. Okay, what do you want to do? You want to send a transaction? Do you want to load a wallet? Do you want to do, right. Here's what these things are. That way the app developers can know, okay, I'm talking to Strike. I need to do this. I'm talking to Web Zebedee. I need to do this.
What really made me smile is that they've been doing games mainly, but they have an internal strategy for value for as many things as possible. So mm. I can see this being connected to posts, to, you know, Activity Pub, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. I like that they're doing that. I think that's really good. It was a very fun, happy call. Very nice people.
So the $20 is like, where does that mean? Like, where does that go?
To them?
No, I mean, yeah. to charity.
Yeah. But, well, it's still for.
Like, does that mean Cast-O-Matic has to pay $20 a month? Or does that mean so. Every.
No. Just Cast-O-Matic. Just Cast-O-Matic.
For some sort of developer license type thing.
Yeah. Okay. And of course they have to, you know, the developer has to go through a very brief, but obvious, check, you know, okay, you're a doctor, you prescribe herbs, you do a podcast app on Friday. Okay. You're Italian. Oh, hold on a second. Check the Italian database.
Stop the car.
Yeah. So there's some kind of check there. Okay. Which they have to do for the money transmitter license. It's just a fact of life. If we want to, you know, if you want to complete, what do they call it? They call it, they said, they had a word for it. Let me look at my notes here. They called it a embedded wallet. No, that's different. Hosted wallet. So embedded wallet is what Fountain has. And that's what Wavelake, I haven't done anything with Wavelake, but. You know, where basically Wavelake says, here's your wallet. You've done it all within Wavelake or within Fountain. That's your $500 a month. And like I said, I literally used Franco as an example. I said, Franco prescribes herbs to people during the day. And he does an app on the weekends. He says, you know, he doesn't have $500 a month, you know.
And they probably understood. $500 a month.
And they say, well, but, you know, we can do it this way. So you can link an already existing Zebedee account. I said, that's fine. You know, it's a hurdle, but that's fine. We can do that. But the feeling I get from them is that this internal strategy, once they can show that it has legs, they can bring that down and do more, and you know, and it's all about scale, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I would front the $20 a month.
That's what I'm saying.
App.
That's what I'm saying. You got a problem? Yeah. Here, Adam. Here, Curry Cash. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, Franco. You know, Mitch. I mean, I'll be glad to do that.
Yeah.
I think this is an interesting. This actually is turning out pretty interesting because what it sounds like, and we're talking, we have a call with Lightspark as well there.
Yes.
In a couple of weeks.
2 weeks or so. Yeah.
2 weeks or so. And we're, you know, we'll obviously be talking to them about the same thing. So what we could end up with is an ecosystem where you have,
Roll Your Own.
Albie. Yeah. Albie, which is becoming Roll Your Own.
Mm-hmm.
You hook to your own node.
Yep.
Then you have, Zebedee is going to pick up the Zebedee crowd, which is already has like a gamer activities.
Which, by the way, talk about promotion. Like, here's all, hello, Zebedee gamers, or what, you know, I'm sure they have outreach to their customers. Here's all the podcasts. Yeah. Here's all the podcasts. And I committed to them. Because they were, you know, they were clearly like, you know, we want to talk about this. You're looking at him. Mm-hmm. You're looking at the guy. I will promote the heck out of this. Are you kidding me? That's my job.
And then you have sort of you have this other crowd, which is new podcast listeners that are not tied to that will never run their own node because that's ridiculous in their eyes. And they don't have any experience with this. They could connect a Strike wallet. Like, you could say, hey, go get a Strike wallet.
Yep.
Can you download the app, connect your Strike wallet, and you're good there. And then, you know, whatever Lightspark, whatever Lightspark says, I mean, this actually could end up being a much better place where you have, where it's sort of covering all these different segments of potential, you know, V4V onboarding stuff.
Yeah, totally.
It's pretty exciting. I've been down in the dumps about this stuff for a couple of months.
You've been
months
very
now.
Dumpy, dear.
I know, it's just dumping everywhere. I mean, it's like, I know I'm bringing everybody down. I've been tired, you know.
Yeah, tired.
It felt like we covered this ground, and then we got pushed back, and now we're having to like retake the bridge again.
Yes, I know.
Once more into the breach type thing, and so it kind of had me like, I'm tired.
I understand.
I think it actually may end up being better, a better, more healthy ecosystem now.
Well, obviously. You know, the initial idea that you and I had behind this was you want to be resistance against deplatforming.
Right.
Clearly, this is not it, but it's still open for anybody to use their own node.
Yeah. See that, and you always have that option. So that part's solved. Right. I mean, if that ever really, if the deplatforming actually was an issue that hit you, just spin back up with your own node and you're done.
Exactly. So I feel bullish. Yeah. And you know what? I can't say it enough. Nice team. Nice team. Yeah. No, really. I was like, wow, these are really cool, nice people. You know, I have a strong aversion towards corporate douchebags, and there was none of that. Yeah. None of that.
Well, I mean, Katie was a delight at the party.
Oh, she's full of energy. Hoot. Yeah. She's the outreach, Zebedee outreach. So I said, you reached out, right?
Yeah, she did. Yep.
Yeah. And she said, thanks for the call out on the show.
We tracked you down. We got you.
That's right. Yep. That's right. She's now an honorary board member. So I had another call this week with Libsyn's own Rob Walsh.
You've been pounding the pavement this week doing the work.
As I said in the opening, we do non-director outreach during weekdays.
Non-director. You know so much corporate speak, it's funny.
It's sad, really, when you think about it. It's sad. You want a little report?
I would love a Walsh report.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. The Walsh Report.
Walsh Report.
Yes. So this was a little backstory on the Libsyn podcast. What's that podcast called? The Libsyn podcast?
It's called
The Feed. Hold on. The Feed. All right.
I think that's literally the intro, but there's not, I don't have enough reverb. Can you get reverb on the Duo? Does it have reverb?
Yeah, it has reverb, but what's sad about the Rodecaster is I can't put reverb on anything but mics. So I can't put it on you. Cause man, would I love to make you sound like that. You can't do that.
Where's my reverb
compressor? Well, it's under effects and you got to set it up and.
Oh, that sucks. I don't have time for that.
You really don't.
That means don't do it.
No. So this was in response to Rob on the feed saying, that podcasting 2.0 was, too much stick, not enough carrot. Maybe it was all stick, no carrot. I don't remember exactly.
More carrot, less stick.
Yeah, more carrot, less stick. So we get on the phone, and he came in hot.
Did he?
No, he came in hot.
Yeah. You mother!
Not quite that hot, but he came in pretty hot. He was very upset about the blatant lies we had told on the show, in the board meeting.
Oh, gracious.
He does understand the tags, and he was very adamant, said, our cap table is okay.
Okay.
We got rid of the Chinese and we are growing. We're doing fine. I said,
good.
You know, Rob, I'm happy. I said, exactly. I said, that's great. I said, it's just when there's no information coming out of the company, stuff starts to rumble, So what we have here is a failure to communicate. He was then, he reminded me that Libsyn had supported two tags already, which are the block tag and...
Block tag, yeah.
And there's one more, I think.
Transcript.
Well, that's recent. They added that in. I said, yeah, it was once Apple took it, well, you added
other,
that
what
in.
What other one did they?
I think there was another one, yeah. Well, they declared they declared the namespace. But he also says, we have an open... space for you to put in any tags you want, which is true.
Yeah,
I think that's true. They have a blank box you can paste in whatever you want to paste in. I think that's true.
I know they do, but that's just not, I mean, like, nobody's gonna do that.
Well, and like, so this is where part of his trouble comes from. And I will say that there's definitely some personality issues not relevant to the board meeting, and it's not my place to get into that, but there's definitely just general personality stuff that
conflict
been going on probably for years. So we started talking about tags, and he was telling me that no one supports them, and I said, well, I'm looking right here at podcastindex.org/apps, and they do, it is, well, the live tag, no one supports it. Well, though, that's true. Not true, because here's the apps that support it. We have a real fundamental, I don't know if I didn't feel like jumping all the way in and trying to explain that, that we're actually playing I thought I explained it, that the stream plays in the app. But he has a philosophical difference about how that should work. So he feels that that should be something separate, and you alert someone that it shouldn't be in the app, I guess. I don't know why, but
it shouldn't be in the app.
But
I thought he said he came in hot saying he understood the tags. And
well,
Podcast Addict supports live,
as does one Podcast of the biggest, Guru.
I'm isolating Podcast Addict. Because it is always one of the top apps. I mean, it's one of the top apps on Android.
Anyway, allow me to move on.
Sorry, I'm just getting...
No, I went into this call hearing Brother James in my ear, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. So I was... And Tina said, who are you talking to? I said, it's Rob Walsh. She said, wow, you were really calm and patient. Yeah, I know. Because I was really trying to listen to what he was saying. And I said, not agreeing with the tag is totally okay. And I said, and by the way, I don't care if you don't support any of them. I don't care if nobody supports none of it, in my perfect grammar. I said, it doesn't matter. This was born out of app developers who want these tags. They've had these ideas for over a decade. We've always been saying, well, if Apple doesn't support it, we're not going to do it. And look at where we are. We have hundreds of thousands of feeds thanks to Buzzsprout and RSS.com and Podhome and RSS Blue. And, you know, I don't even remember all of them.
Red Circle.
Yeah, Red. I mean,
Blueberry.
Yeah, yeah. Blue. Oh, sorry, Todd. Blueberry. I mean, a lot of support. And does everyone support everything? No, but that which gains traction gains traction. And I said, really, instead of on your podcast, the feed, the place to, because he made a big deal about the person tag. He says, my job is to grow our customers' feed, a show, which is, you know, I chide everybody over this. Like, grow this. All right, grow your show, whatever. He says, the person tag is already satisfied by the author tag, which Apple uses for search and is the best place for SEO.
False.
I had no counter to that because I don't know, but please make your point. False.
No, I'm saying that the author tag does not serve the same role as the person tag. The person tag can exist at the channel level and at the item level, and it can have multiple instances of it. It also has a role. So that
yes,
you know whether,
I, that I explained. I mean, I said there's a taxonomy and you can assign people. It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you what he said. I wasn't trying to argue with him. I was just trying to hear what his issues were.
What I'm struggling with right now is this same thing of I understand the tags, but again, what he's saying is he doesn't understand the tags. Like he's describing them in ways that aren't accurate.
Well, here's what it came down to. I said, Rob, what would really be helpful is if you are in the GitHub as these tags are being created, there's discussions that have gone on for years about certain tags, and tags can change, and you know we're open to it, but you know there's no participation from Libsyn. To which he said, I'm hiring someone whose job it is to be that. Okay. So, all right. So I said, that will be very helpful because there is a place for these things to grow. Now, what I think, and here's where he made a good point. The feed is, we just see that as a podcast, right? We're like, oh, this guy's talking smack about us. The feed is for his customers. And as I kind of suspected, what's happening is, support is getting calls like, well, you know, one of it is how I need podcasting 2.0 and they don't have it. And so they say, well, you can put it in here. And then they put it in there and they say it didn't show up on Apple. So it's become a huge annoyance for him. This I understand. If you don't have the script, if you don't have the answers and you're not really in agreement with most of these tags anyway, of course, people are calling up and saying, well, what's this with this podcasting too? So I think that without him even realizing it, he's talking down what we're doing to help his customers understand that it's just not that important from his perspective.
He wants people to stop calling them.
That's kind of what I got out of it. And I understand that. I really do. Yeah. And then, you know, to have a podcast standards project that says, well, you got to have minimum of these five tags. It just became, I think, a them versus us type deal, which I don't think anyone really wants.
But to clarify, I mean, we had more than one person email us and say, you know, hey, nobody reached out to Marco in any sort of negative way or anything like that. I mean, like it does not, the people from the Podcast Standards Project felt like we threw them under the bus, which was completely unintended. That's not at all intended. I mean, I thought,
no, I was driving the bus. Just kidding. Just kidding.
I didn't think that we did that, but if we did, it wasn't intentional.
Well, so let me just take this a little bit further.
Everybody's just trying. Let me say this. Everybody is just trying to do the thing that's best for the people, for their own community. And I mean, this, I think yes. this is an accurate use of the word community.
Yes. Yes. Rob, you're nailing it.
Through this show, through Lipson, the feed show.
The feed.
Through that show, Rob is talking to his community.
Yes.
And he is trying to affect a particular response from them to settle them down, to stop asking for these things that he can't give them.
So
the Podcast Standard Projects is talking to their community, which is the hosting companies yes. that they hope to get on board with yes. 2.0 in order to standardize their efforts to make everybody sort yes. of like put everybody on the same set of tracks.
Yes. And so his main gripe is Overcast doesn't use them. The biggest apps don't use it. I said, well, you know, Apple just added the transcript tag. So yeah, and we added it right away. I said, you're kind of making my point for me because these things take a long time. I mean, I remember the conversations about a show notes tag in the original RSS spec, which, you know, became, I think that out of that grew the Atom project, ATOM, because, well, you got to have this. And I said, you have to understand that I don't see the world the way you do. I don't see it as grow your show to be the biggest thing on the planet. In fact, I think the polar opposite. I think the future of podcasting is local, but it's really about the community. And if I look at my community, No Agenda being a community, I have, you know, over 50%, I think, do not use Apple. I'm not even on Spotify, and it doesn't hurt me. And people use it because I provide extra content. Part of it is with Dreb Scott with chapters and other things. And for a long time, the transcripts, which are only were not available on Apple. And so my community uses this. I'm not a big believer in it. Everybody has to do everything, and it has to be the biggest, and it's, you know, it's international, and that's how you grow your show. And if Apple doesn't provide it, then it's no good. And he also said Pocket Cast. Well, Pocket Cast, you know, they're coming along. We've had talks with them, you know, and
they support quite a few tags now.
Of course they do. And I would,
yeah, they support chapters. They support yep. Podping.
Mm-hmm.
They just added them. They added one, a couple of, they support transcripts. Like there's a lot of
yeah.
stuff that they support.
So where we kind of left it is, look, please participate, join us, you know, join in at least on the GitHub. Again, he said he tried to hire someone, and now he's hiring someone, and in 2 months they'll be in. Okay. That's great. And we welcome the feedback. We really do. Even if it's, I mean, I don't participate in the GitHub because it riles me up, and I'm not good at it. And it's like, you know, I'll take the abstraction when it pops to the top. I'm also not a developer, but there's a lot of philosophical stuff that people discuss. And I think that even our GitHub is at a point where people don't rage quit and, well, you're not doing it. You know, it's like, okay, people give in, you know, like, okay, well, I guess I lost that one. I'll do it on something else. And, mm-hmm. And he said that, that Libsyn would be participating in it. So that's good. Now, but I learned some very frightening things because he was talking about all the integrations they have. And I did not know this, and I'm going to presume that many hosting companies do this, and it really hurt my heart. A lot of these integrations, and specifically Spotify, enable a quick way for you to get on Spotify or get on, you know, iHeart or get on, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, like one click add to their directory.
Yes, but it's not just add to their directory. It's add and agree to terms of service. And to his credit, he says, you know, I have negotiated with these parties and, you know, some had really bad terms of service where they can do whatever they want. And, you know, basically Spotify can advertise and do all kinds of things. And so the more I'm listening to this, the more, and they even create special feeds for these, for some of these integrations.
Yeah,
it broke my heart.
That's my heart. That's sad. Yeah.
And so the more I think about it, the more broken this podcast industrial complex appears, because you do have to sign. I mean, I never liked that you had to have an Apple account. And of course, with Apple, you have to sign you have to agree to their EULA or whatever it is to get your podcast. And I won't do it anymore. I mean, no, Agenda's been there forever. This show was put there without us agreeing to anything. Someone else put it in, which you'd think would not be possible. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking that all these integrations into all these separate platforms all have separate terms of service. And this is why you get kicked off so easily. Mm-hmm. You know, they can just cut it off at the source. There's a million different things that can happen. And it broke my heart. I mean, I don't know who's doing it or how many. I presume most who have an integration. Really, it's not like, here's my feed, take it into your app and display it. No, it's you've got to agree to their terms of service, and you're doing this with one-click integration. I understand from a business perspective why it's done, but don't come to me, anybody who does this, and say, you know, we support open RSS, because you don't. You're actually hurting open RSS.
Wait, that's what the index is for.
Yes, sir.
There are no terms of service. I mean, if you put a feed out there, we're eventually going to find it. And we're going to stick it in the directory.
Stick it in.
And if you want to stick it in before we get there, then you can go ahead and stick it in. But I mean, like, that's it'll just go right in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole reason there is an index, is because that is for that very reason.
Yep.
I think, you know, on the media, my hate listen.
I think this is a repeat, because they re-aired this. This is old. Yeah. But okay. Yes.
It is. It is a very cut down re-air of an episode from last year about Apple's role in podcasting. So it's funny because it's outdated. And then to look back now, knowing what we know about the inflated download numbers that Apple Podcast app was causing.
Yeah.
And so, like, Rob, it's interesting that Rob was the guest, sort of guest interview on that show. And he mentions in there that, like, you know, something like 46% or something of their downloads are from Apple Podcasts.
Mm.
That number has obviously come way down.
Mm-hmm.
Because those download numbers were not, you know, they were being inflated by Apple's.
I know exactly what clip you pulled now.
So, but this,
without having listened to it,
really,
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But you know, it was not overall, not, I mean, it was just a repeat of, I think we covered this episode with the last year when it came out, but, it's, you know, tying yourself to Apple or Spotify or these companies in a way where you won't do anything until they do it first. That's not podcasting. And it's not true to the spirit of podcasting. Todd and Rob had a great show Wednesday, on the New Media show. And
I know Todd, I was trolling along. It was great.
You were all over, you were causing them all kinds of grief. But he, you know, Todd talked about, he used the term hold the line on RSS. And I think he's right. We've got to hold the line, or you're going to look back in a few years and it's just going to be YouTube and Spotify, and there's just not going to be anybody else.
I'm pretty sure Blueberry integrates and does stuff, though. I mean, these guys have to do it.
Sure, but I'm saying that you have, Yeah, but I'm saying like he's talking about making an investment into, and they're going to start promoting video podcasting.
Yes.
In order to begin the process, and he said it's a financial risk for them.
It is, and I appreciate that. Yes.
Begin this process of trying to pull some of this back out of these siloed platforms. And but I thought the best part of this, of that show, and this was a new part that they just added for this re-air, was this one little section at the end about podcasting being sort of like the road less traveled.
The same thing that's made podcast technology a little wonky and a little random has also kept it on this different path than other digital media. It was coded by techies to solve a delivery problem and then given a home by Apple to sell hardware. And for listeners, well, we can subscribe to a gazillion podcasts for free from the app of our choice. What could possibly go wrong?
Yes.
I think she did a beautiful job of summing up podcasting. It was created by techies to solve a delivery problem. Podcasting at its heart is not an industry, what we've been saying for forever. You know, if you go into broadcast radio and television world, that was a club. Because you have to have FCC licensing in order to get the spectrum you need,
yeah.
and there was limited channel space and limited ad inventory based on time slots. There was broadcast radio and television was always a very exclusive club, which meant it was an industry where everybody sort of talked amongst themselves and all mostly went in the same direction because it was a small cadre of people really at the top that mostly owned everything.
Yes. I come from this world.
Podcasting is not that. There is no podcasting industry because there can't be a podcasting industry because it's not a club, because the technology is open at any moment. There's podcast hosting companies, podcast apps, agencies popping up and also disappearing in, you know, all the time, constantly. Every month, there's new things coming online, old things that are dying on the vine going offline.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody controls it. No, there's no club there because it's too big to be a club. It's too open and it's too broad. When you can't control it, you can't have a club. And when you can't control what it takes to come into the group, you can't be exclusive enough and exclude people from the group. Therefore, it's not a club. And then by virtue of that, it's not an industry.
I.e., you can't monetize the network.
Yes. And so this, you know, she said that podcasting was created by techies to solve a delivery problem, a content delivery problem. And then it was adopted by Apple to sell hardware. That's what Apple's role in podcasting was and still continues to be.
Well, there's one extra thing they brought, because they did create I had an index, iPodder.org, and they created an index which enabled them to solve, quote unquote, solve, although it only solved it for them, the one-click subscription.
But that, see, and we've
talked about this before. And that was capture. That was actually capture.
That was capture because that Apple's directory was only available publicly in a public API form because their app required that. It was never intended exactly. to be available for other apps to use.
Exactly.
That was not the intent. It was an accident of history that it ended up that way. Just like it was an accident of history that the iTunes namespace ended up being publicly usable because it had to be, but you still can't control it.
That's correct.
And so that little sentence at the end is a perfect summation perhaps the best one I've ever heard of podcasting in general. Created by techies to solve a content delivery problem, adopted by Apple to sell hardware.
Let's listen one more time.
The same thing that's made podcast technology a little wonky and a little random has also kept it on this different path than other digital media. It was coded by techies to solve a delivery problem and then given a home by Apple to sell hardware. And for listeners, well, we can subscribe to a gazillion podcasts for free from the app of our choice. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
It was, she said it at the very beginning, it's a little bit wonky.
Yep. It is.
And guess what? The name, the podcast namespace, it's a little bit wonky. Because everything in podcasting is a little bit wonky. Because that's the way that this stuff works. And we love, I mean,
yes.
I love Ted.
We love
Apple.
Wonky.
I mean,
we love wonky.
I love Ted over at Apple. I think the Apple podcast team is probably the best team inside of all of Apple, period. I mean, but they are not a moneymaker, and they're completely subservient to Apple's overall corporate goals.
And there's processes and everything.
Yes. And so they're a participant in podcasting, but you cannot rely on them to be the leaders of podcasting. And if you wait on them to do stuff, that's completely antithetical to the core concepts of what podcasting is, which is open delivery and wonky and available everywhere.
Right. But that's, it's antithetical to an industry, and an industry has been created around it, which, let's face it, really took off during COVID, and COVID's gone, and it's time to go back to the wonky stuff, and something will hit, something will happen, and it'll have another resurgence.
Here's the reason I said all that, boiling it down, is because the podcast namespace, here's what I feel about this in relation to to Rob. I get his concerns about specific tags. I may not agree with him, but I get his concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And he's entitled to them. It's fine. But try to look past these individual things within these tags. The tags themselves function the way they're supposed to. I mean, they clearly do. There's many apps and hosting companies that are hundreds of thousands of fees are putting these things in there, and apps are reading them. They work. Okay, they may not work exactly the way each individual person wants them to, but they do work. Look past that for a second, though, and look at the overall goal and function of 2.0 community and the podcast namespace within the world of podcast RSS technology. 2.0, the open source project encompassing everything that we're doing, is really the first credible, serious attempt to take back control of RSS from big players like Apple and Spotify and Amazon and Google. It's the attempt to put the locus of control for RSS podcast delivery in the hands of the people that create it. The hosting companies, the podcasters, the app developers, that of which Apple and Spotify are also part, but they're not the boss. They're just a member like everybody else.
And intelligent people understand this. And in fact, Dvorak says that we will get a Nobel Peace Prize for the index.
I expect one. I've already got us. I cleared out a space on the wall for where it's going to hang.
Exactly. I think it's a more metal. I don't think it's actually something you can
still frame that. Yeah. You can still frame the metal. Yeah. It's frameable.
It, you know, but you're so right. And I love going on a call with the people from Zebedee and say, let me just, you probably know this, but I just want to explain. Adam and Dave are doing this for our legacy because we love podcasting. We love, it's not a hobby. It's like something you just do. It's like being an altar boy for the church. You know,
that's a fraught, bad example. Revert.
Avoid. It's doing something for the community. You know, we're doing something because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think I can speak for both of us. We love doing it.
It's a right thing to do, but it's not a doomsday mission. It might work. That's the thing.
I think it is working. Are you kidding me? Look at what we've achieved.
Yeah. And if it does work, then hallelujah. We all win. You know what I mean? Everybody wins.
Yes, exactly. And when I look at things like, I love what they're doing over at PodPage, you know, here's a website company. And dude, I love, you know, Curry and the Keeper. We built our website. Tina built it, and she's someone who's worked a lot with Wix and, you know, Squarespace and all this stuff, building nonprofit websites throughout her career. Mm-hmm. And she was able to go in and she says, oh, look at all this stuff. And they're adding 2.0 features into their website.
Wix is?
No. PodPage.
Oh, PodPage. Okay.
It's dynamite. Mm-hmm. You know, by the way, I think web pages are very undervalued for many podcasters, and you know, every hosting company gives you some type of presence. But I mean, that's just one example. Then there's David comes in with a Hypercatcher extension, which enables you to. Yeah. I mean, did you see that thing? It's amazing. You listen to the podcast, you just click, click, click. It creates a chapter marker. You can go back and your chapters are created. I mean, this is dynamite. These are really cool things. And I'm proud to announce that.
No.
Yes, I'm proud to announce. Let me get the date right and so I don't proudly announce the wrong thing. Hold on.
Careful.
My phone is wonky. December. Hold on. Let me just double check. December 16th. At Antone's in Austin, there will be a Value for Value concert.
Oh, do tell.
Well, I just did.
I mean, give you some details. I mean, like, well, who's doing it?
It's the Costellos, and it's open mic, and I'm going to be there. I might be emceeing it. I know we're going to have a meeting. But it's just like, hey, let's just book it and we're going to get people in. I'm going to try and get Suzanne Santo in there. And it's going to be another V for V concert. I mean, this is beautiful. Nice. It really is. It's fantastic that these things can happen. I mean, yeah, okay. It's very small, the value verse of music, but is it really? I mean, go take a look at Wavelake. Go take a look at Ellen Beats. You know, open up an app and search for music. It's pretty amazing. These things take a long time.
They do.
They just take a long time. That's just what it is. And where we live in a world where it's got to go viral. Everybody's got to be doing it. Got to be on NPR's got to be talking about it. We're not going to see those days.
We also live in a world where people quote unquote launch products.
Yes. Yes. Exactly right.
That's not what this thing has ever been.
No. No. And marketing.
V4V 2.0, namespace, nothing. This stuff was never launched. It has grown. It's festered, you know?
Yes. I'm also going to rescind the quote invention of podcasting. I think we just discovered it. I don't think anything.
Oh, like electricity.
Yeah. I don't think it was invented. You know, Weiner and I didn't invent it. We discovered it. It's much more fair.
It's like Michelangelo. It was always in that block of granite.
All right, let's play a song. I'm itching for a song.
I mean, David.
Yes, I know what you're saying. The Dorfels are back with a new track, caught it on the split kit. And of course, I want to add it right in. Boost during the song. The artists get the sats and we play the tracks. Here's Diamonds.
tonight, the conversation is one that I've been waiting for. It's been hard to be patient, but it's something that we can't ignore. Don't you know that you're so much more? You're not alone, not alone. I won't let you fall behind. Oh, I see diamonds in your eyes. Oh, destination standing far beyond the stars, where the light is everlasting. Shine on wherever you are. Don't you know that you're so much more? You're not alone, not alone. What are you waiting for?
Diamonds, I see them in your eyes. And I will be on the Dorful Verse Tuesday, September 17th, live.
Oh, nice.
Yes, okay. I think I'll be playing my my theremin, Bubby Jammin'. You laugh, Dave Jones, you laugh. You laugh. Hey. You laugh at me. Yeah. Great song, guys. Great song.
The Activity Pub Bridge. Interesting. You want to hear a tidbit?
Yeah.
The Activity Pub Bridge had a problem. That's not the tidbit.
Oh, because tell me something I don't know. Okay. Yes.
The Activity Pub Bridge is having some sort of problem where it's not notifying people of certain episodes.
Hmm.
And I don't yet know exactly what the issue is. I started looking at it, but I can't tell yet. I'm just digging around in the database. The way it works is, there's more than this, but there's two main tables in the Activity Pub Bridge. There's an actors table, which is basically an actor as a podcast. And there's a followers table, and a follower is an ActivityPub user somewhere in the Fediverse. The ActivityPub user, when they subscribe, gets linked to a particular podcast in the actors table.
Mm-hmm.
So then every few minutes, the ActivityPub bridge pulls the index for all of the podcasts it knows about.
Yeah.
Or all the podcasts that people follow. It pulls that and then sees which one and checks for whatever the latest episode is in the show. And if it's, and then if it's got a GUID that's different from the one in the actors table, it says, okay, there's a new episode. And then it finds out all the actors that follow that, all the followers that follow that show, and knows to send them all a notification about it. So it's fairly simple. I don't yet know what the issue is. I feel like what may have happened is some scraper just went berserk and did a mass follow on like 2 million podcasts. And it may have caused some sort of issue there. But I'm going to hope, I think that's what happened. Of course it did, because the internet, you know, scrapers.
Yeah.
And so if you just send out a mat, like, it, you know, I mean, there's 4.2 million podcasts in the index. The ActivityPub bridge can't check 4.2 million podcasts every few minutes. I mean, it can't do it. It's just not, I mean, it's not realistic. And that's not realistic to the way that, you know, to the real world. So, it's okay that it can't do that quantity, but if somebody goes through and just mass follow, does fake follows, then that's going to screw things up. But anyway, well, I'll figure that out. But the interesting, the tidbit.
Oh, here we go.
I finally got to the tidbit 10 minutes later.
Here's the tidbit.
Is there are 4,145 active followers on the bridge.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, over 4,000 people on the Fediverse.
Wow.
Yeah, these are active. Yeah, uh-huh. These are verified where there was a three-way handshake. 4,145 Fediverse ActivityPub people are nice. Following the podcast.
Oh, that's pretty good, actually.
That feels like a lot.
Yeah, it does. Not bad for your podcast app.
Yeah, and I feel like this is an, and I feel like this is a, you know, another sign of things are changing. You know, I mean, if you go back 5 years ago, gosh, even a year ago, the, you know, Twitter was the dominant town square in the world. Yeah. Now, half those users have left and gone to Mastodon and
Threads
and Blue Sky and all
Telegram.
These things.
Telegram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just a sign that things change over time, and you have to be willing to build the new technologies that enable new functionality for these to follow people where they're actually going.
Yeah.
And so I think that the ActivityPub cross app comments, and you can throw Noster in there as well. All of those, these new things of attaching podcasting to social infrastructure, that I think that's going to, it may take 5 years. It may take 10 years. I don't know, but I think it's promising.
And it's too bad that X just cut everybody off with the API shutting down.
Yeah. It was chop gone. Yeah,
chop. And I think that's going to hurt X. Long term. Mm-hmm. The future is open. The future is small.
I don't think I'll ever be able to call him X. it's dumb.
Well, all right. I have on my list Aggregator DB. You said it was a potential board topic. So here I am bringing it up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I take notes.
Let's see. Wait, I got a thing over here.
Uh-oh.
I got a thing. Let's see.
Boost.
I don't know why I did that, but it felt right.
I don't either. I just kind of weird. But, so each, you know, the aggregator, let me back up. Barry, Dutch Barry. Dutch Master Barry built some new Podbean code.
Oh, all right.
Let me see if I can pull it up. I want to link. I want to link to what he's got. Or this is a verbal link. I want to verbally link to what he has. where is it? Come on, Barry. Pop up my timeline, brother. Okay. Yeah, here it is. So he open sourced it. And it's built in C sharp, and it's a way to poll Podping. I mean, it's like the Hive Watcher.
Yes.
You're polling Podping in C sharp instead of Python. And so he's doing that for his own. He's building a podcast app. You know what? I just got an AP Bridge notification in my timeline, so it's working for some shows and not others. I'm getting distracted. Sorry. So he built this and he open sourced it. So you can go get it if you're a C sharp inclined fella or lady. And he started talking about his new podcast app and the way he's building the database. And he's building it out on Azure, using Azure's built in, stuff like, durable functions or whatever. I forgot what they called it, but it is Hive Podping API. It is on github.com/BMALUIJB/Hive Podping API. That's the link.
Okay.
And
can you give that to me again? I want to put it in the show notes.
Yeah it's github.com/BM like bowel movement, A L U I J B / Hive Podping API, all one word.
That's marketing right there, baby.
It is, yeah. it fits with our standard marketing.
Yes, it does.
So he started talking about his database and stuff, and his app database, and it got me. I've had this idea for a while, and the idea here, he brought it back up to me because our database is our biggest bottleneck. We just basically can't keep up.
Right.
The speed required to write the number of transactions we're trying to do at any given time is just so high. And so the aggregators, if you look, we have 10 aggregators. They all run, they're all polling as many as 1,000 feeds every minute. And you imagine pushing all of that change data into one database. What they do is they do all the stuff and then they make the calls to they aggregate all the feeds and they make the calls to the database. And you can see this on the screen. When you're watching them in action, they hit a point where they're just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting for those database writes to finish. And so it may take 20 seconds for them or 30 seconds for them to pull those feeds. And then it may take another minute and a half for the database writes to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real bottleneck. And what I've been thinking about for a while is I've just been mulling this over is pushing some of that work database workload to the aggregators themselves. Mm. So essentially when the aggregator nodes, they would have a small database on them. They would, when they get their list of data of feeds to pull, instead of just pulling over the URL and the feed ID, they would pull over the entire record, everything about that data, everything about that feed.
Okay.
Then when they pull it down, so this would be in like SQLite. When they do the aggregation, they will make all the changes locally in their local database. Then package the records and push them out into a queue, which the queue will then just line up the requests to be streamed back into the main database. So there'd basically be one queue server that will be that will be taking things first in, first out of the pipe and writing those changes back to the main database. That way the aggregators can go back to doing, they never have to slow down. They rapidly handle their, let's just say 1,000 feeds or 2,000 feeds, get done, throw them on the queue, and then move on to the next batch. But you know, that sounds like you're not really solving a problem, because you're like, okay, well now the queue's just going to stack up. But that's not entirely accurate, because sometimes the aggregators are super, some like from run to run. So let's say aggregator 3 has 1,000 feeds, and it's taking 1,000 feed chunks every minute,
yeah,
or every minute and a half. It may, this particular batch of 1,000 feeds may have 400 feeds that changed and have new data. The next batch may only have 7. And if you never had to slow down for the first batch, you could already be checking the next batch, and just adding 7 more to the 400 you had a while ago is not going to actually do, it's not going to hurt anything.
So it's performance enhancement.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the little blue pill for servers. and so, I feel like that might be now that's going to take some work. But I feel like that's maybe where we need to go. And Barry asked about, he said, he made a comment about wanting to hear what we're paying for stuff. And I looked at the bill, and here's a couple of highlights is here. Our overall bill last month was $722 to Linode. The main database VM is 32 gigs of RAM. And I don't see how much disk it's got. I don't remember.
It's got to have terabytes.
No, it's not that much, actually. I think it's like 400 gigs. Mm. $192 is what that runs us for that VM. And then we've got the main two front-end API servers. Those are $24 each. So we got two of those. I got 4 gigs of RAM. Like the search database, the one that handles when you call search by term, that is a 2 gig Linode. That's like $12. Block storage on Linode's expensive. It's like $10 for 100 gigs. So we've got $50 a month.
We also,
for
don't we have
gigs.
A Cloudflare bill as well?
Yeah, that's $95 a month.
Oh, that's not bad.
So that's like, well, they used to be cheaper, but then we had to do the custom SSL certificate thing.
Yeah.
Our V4V Lightning thing that tracks all the Lightning nodes off all the Lightning transactions and handles boosts and all that kind of stuff. That's like an eight gig VM. That's $48 a month.
Well,
the person search.
I forget we pay for Voltage. I think I'm still paying for that. Am I still paying for that?
Isn't that like $150?
Yeah.
We paid for it with Bitcoin last time.
Yeah, when we started it up, but I think we're paying for, I don't know. I should look at my card.
Cash.
I might be paying for it. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
The person search node is a 4 gig. That's actually a pretty heavy search function, and it's $24 a month. So anyway, it's like roughly $12 for each aggregator node. There's 10 of those. So that's $120. So it's around $700 a month right now. And then, so that he was just curious about that. He was thinking he may be able to
get it cheaper,
figure out,
do it
cheaper on Azure or something. So,
you know, speaking of Podping, I had an interesting call this week. Yes, there was another one. I forgot about it. With ClixTV.com. CLIXTV.com. Then ClixTV, if you've ever checked into a hotel room in the United States, their channel guide is in 600 million hotel rooms. Then if you go to clixtv.com, C-L-I-X-TV.com, you'll see they have a carousel. Are you looking at it?
I am. It's spinning.
Yeah, it's spinning.
I'm mesmerized.
Yeah. Yes, it'll make you dizzy. So their next move, they have an app. And the concept behind their app is you turn on the TV in the hotel room. You're like, I don't want to have to log into Hulu. I don't want to have to log into Netflix. I want to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So you scroll through, you use their carousel. You say, oh, that looks interesting. And then you stop and it gives you a QR code. You scan that with your phone and then you screencast from your phone to the TV. Which is actually a pretty cool idea, because I've had that myself. It's like, I don't want to log in, to my Netflix and this, but I, how do I stop it? How do it makes you anxious.
Yeah.
And they called me and said, we'd kind of like to talk about putting podcasts in there from the index.
Go for it.
And then I showed them the tiles.podping.org. Mm-hmm. They lost their crap over that.
Really?
And if you look at tiles.podping.org, it's cool.
That's Brian's thing, right?
And yeah, it's like the ultimate discovery mechanism, because I'll just look at it now and I'm waiting for it to load. I've got, and stuff is just flying through, right? Thriving, alcohol-free, Scoop, the podcast, the Empire podcast.
The Spandex and Wine podcast.
Yes.
That's Korean, the keeper.
Hey, right? Please. It's just all kinds of cool stuff popping in here all the time. And I'll look at this from time to time. Let me just check this podcast out, which, of course, should be tied to episodes.fm, just saying. And so we'll be talking in a couple of weeks. I think that with the chief marketing officer and the chief technology officer, and that could be a pretty nice discovery mechanism for podcasts.
That'd be great. That's cool. I mean, hey, if Libsyn did nothing else, if they just implemented Podping,
yeah, wow, wouldn't that be awesome?
I would shut up and go away.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would never talk about it again. I would be so happy. And it's so easy. It's so simple. And they already have the keys because I sent them.
Yeah. That would be nice.
That's pretty neat. Podping is an underappreciated resource.
Definitely. I want to make my call out again. Please consider implementing the funding tag in your apps.
Yes.
Call it donate, something like that. Don't worry about what it's called as a tag, but give me a donate button so I can send people to your apps and they can support my show by just tapping on that button in app. It's a big deal.
Can we talk about the location tag for a second?
Oh, I've been waiting.
So the location tag has come up before that. Obviously the location tag is meant to specify what the podcast is about. So this is a podcast about Austin, Texas, or.
But we now have, isn't there an option now?
Well, so that's what I was going to bring up. I mean, I think it came up once before that. The location tag, we talked about having an option or an optional attribute that says, this is not what it's about. This is where
it's from.
Show is.
Yes. Yes.
But I don't remember where we left that.
What I remember is James rescinded after trying to convince everybody that it was purely meant to be what it's about. And I remember him on, I think, Pod News Weekly Review weeks ago saying, okay, this should be an option so you can say this is where it's from, which I think would be handy, honestly.
Okay, so what I was hearing was maybe just a discussion about it on maybe on Power. On Pod News Weekly Review.
Yes, gotcha. Power.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Okay, so if that's the, if there was never, I was thinking there was a GitHub issue about it, but maybe not. Look, this is all just an ulterior motive on my part, because what I really want to do is not have to search GitHub. And if I say it this way,
then someone
Nathan Gathright will go and, the link. And find it and send me the link in the boardroom.
Yes, so, I get it. I think having it by having the option to have it from this is where it's from would be very important.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually a big deal.
Particularly
if podcasting
because,
is going to be local.
Yes, thank you. You took the words out of my mouth.
If podcasting is going to be local, we need to have a way to find the local shows.
Yes.
And I will, and I fully intend to put a local podcast search into the index.
Nice.
So that we can find those local shows so that I can say, I want to see a list of shows from Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's not appropriate, see, here's the thing. Like, if it's not appropriate to your show, if I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and I do a podcast about
milk,
Yosemite, milk, yes, and I do an all milk podcast,
yes,
then I'm not going to put the location tag in there. No. I don't care, you know. Or if I have a podcast where I'm just playing the guitar, I'm not gonna put Birmingham, Alabama in there just for my guitar lessons. I mean, like, that's just not appropriate. So I don't think it's going to pollute things to do this. You just have to, you have to just say, all right, well, this is a show that I want to be findable in this way.
Yeah. I like it.
Just like you do when you put your person tag in there. When you put your person tag in your podcast, you're saying, I want to be findable that way.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I guess what do we have to I keep eyeballing the boardroom, and Nathan hasn't popped up with a link to GitHub yet.
Very,
so I'm lost.
Very disappointing. Boardroom. Hey, wake up. You know, where there's one guy in the boardroom who's his eyes are just closed and he's sitting there silently, you know, he's sleeping. And then you go say, isn't that right, Nathan?
Yeah, that's right, Adam.
Gotta turn down the air conditioning, keep everybody awake.
Let's be honest, people nod off when I talk about databases.
I tased my nuts while you're doing that.
What was that?
funny enough, hold on a second. It's the Clicks TV. Let me do it again, because I didn't want to say it because I was bringing up the website. And if you click on something, then all of a sudden it gave me that taser sound. Let me see if I can recreate. There it is.
it sounded like a, you know, you were like lighting up a stogie or something.
it's some interface widget they have. Last thing I have on my list is the UMA. Which
universal money address.
Yes. Have you looked into this? I know you were reading it, so I'm curious what you learned. What are you learning, Dave?
I read the website, and can I just bitch for a second?
Oh, baby. Hold on a second. And now another bitch from the pod stage. Bitch, 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 bitch.
you choked yourself.
I choked. Yes.
It really annoys me when specifications and things are written and people develop a website for a spec, and then they spend the entire like 10 pages of material. You're trying to get to the actual spec.
show me
and
the
it's
code,
just marketing.
Bro.
Yeah. Yes, and it's just marketing terminology over and over and over. That drives me up the wall. I'm like, I don't care about your marketing. I just need to know what this thing actually does. What is it? Please, somebody tell me what this is. Mm. So my understanding of the UMA thing is that it looks like an email address, but it's sort of delineated by a dollar sign by a dollar sign in front of the name portion of the email address lookalike thing to denote that it is a UMA universal money address.
Oh, that's the whole thing?
Yeah, but it UMA uses Lightning
mm-hmm.
on the back end. UMA is meant to be a sort of interface into Lightning. But I haven't gotten any farther than that. I mean, it's...
Well, Alex Gates was saying, he showed me this part of the code. I think it's called VAST. So there's some verification that the provider of the money transmission is an approved like money transmitter or some crap like that.
No, I think you're talking, that's LightSpark stuff.
Oh, okay.
I think he was leaking to LightSpark stuff.
Oh, all right.
My understanding, the best I can tell, is that this is basically a Lightning address, but it's meant to be used by financial institutions.
Okay, it's so it does have a compliance element to it. Eric PP saying it has it's LNURL pay with compliance added.
Yeah, right. It's pretty much the exact same thing as a Lightning address, but it's meant to be used by banks so they can layer on their compliance.
Mm.
And then this, you know, so like in the same way that you have like a cash, a cash tag, like in Cash App.
Yeah.
Or a Strike username in Strike, and all these things look like email addresses, kind of.
Yeah,
I think this is supposed to be the standardized version of that thing for financial institutions. There's a lot of marketing.
That's what I said. That's what I said. It looks like great marketing. That's all I could read from it. I'm like, all right, well, it's marketing. It looks okay.
Like at the bottom of the page, it says reserve your UMA with one of these companies today.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, enough said.
And I can't find, I don't see US anywhere on there, which is, you know, kind of weird.
Hmm.
I mean, UK Zappo Bank, the first Bitcoin enabled bank to fully integrate traditional finance with crypto.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Crypto.
Hey, if it works, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. But how about we thank some people?
Oh, yeah, I guess we could do that.
Yeah, we're getting towards that time. I heard a lot of boosts come in.
Oh, okay, cool.
Here is Sam. I'm going to think that's Sam Sethi. 1,000 sats. We want to implement the location from option and link it to Google Maps. This was the discussion James and I had on power. Okay.
Okay.
That'll work. Yep. And he says, thank you. You know why. Go podcasting.
Oh, okay. Go podcasting!
Okay. You're welcome, Sam.
20,000 sats from Todd Cochran. Hold the line, he says. Nice. 2121 Salty Crayon. Every time you buy from the grocery store, you put a nail in the coffin of your local producer, rancher, and farmer. Need help finding one? We have over 150 producers, probably in your backyard. Go to Beef Initiative. This is an ad. Go to beefinitiative.com and start shaking a rancher's hand, either in person or digitally. And by the way, most of them take Bitcoin for beef. It's a win for them and a win for you. Welcome to beef.com.
Oh, yeah, nice.
I agree. That's actually quite important.
I get 20 pounds of ground beef from KNC every month.
That's right. 10,000 sats from Todd Cochran. I'm going to give him a baller now because he's completed that.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
He says Spotify is the only company that required an integration of a separate feed. The dumb thing is it's an exact mirror. They said they needed guaranteed feed performance, and we fought it. They are the only one that did this. Oh, and this was before they bought Anchor. Okay.
That makes perfect sense.
Although I will say that, you remember we had that call with the CEO of TuneIn? Remember that Jamoke?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't the CEO. That was...
What was the CEO?
That was somebody else.
C-suite something.
The CSO is the chief safety officer.
Yeah, right. They would talk, yeah, we can use the index and we even had to get business insurance.
And then, yeah, I remember that. Yes.
And the guy dried up and blew away.
Yeah, he made us go get business insurance and then he never did anything.
Yeah. So,
but and we weren't even going to make any money off of it. It was like, and he wanted us to sign. We had to go through all this back and forth with like marking up and redlining our terms of service and all this stuff. And they were like, we need a separate terms of service for us. And we were like, no, we're not doing that.
So, but then he had put no agenda into the TuneIn database. So I like that show and it's you, so I'm going to put it in there. So I get emails from people. Hey, you know, I was listening to No Agenda. I pulled it up on TuneIn and there were two ads before it.
Oh, yeah.
And I signed no agreement and now I'm stuck. There you go. Less platforms, people. Salty Crayon 2121. Howdy, boardroom. Tired of drinking that beef milkshake and sitting on the throne while doom scrolling? Go to your pantry. Clean that shit out, man. Divorce the supermarket. Act like you're in the Texas panhandle. Start with the processing center. If you can't find that, find a guy that's out there. Find a woman that's out there. Start with eggs, butter. Start with butter. Start with milk. Okay. I think that's a continuation of his beef initiative ad. Once told Kyle, 777, love the Dorfels. Do I hear a banjo? Go, go, go. 1, 2, 3, 4 from Salty Crayon again. Adam and Dave, let me know if that double boostergram came through in Curio Caster or not so I can boost it again before the delimiter. Let's see if we get to it. There's okay. Chad F. By the way, that was from Podverse. Now we have Chad F. from Podcast Guru. Dorfels, ITBR. Oystein Berge. 3333. I love the Dorfels. Heard it on Podcasting 2.0. 1,000 Sats from San. Question. What links Libsyn and Podpage? Dave, do you know the answer?
What links
Libsyn with Podpage? It's a question of the week. You know the answer.
Two people who have never been in my kitchen.
No. Dave Jackson.
No. Beautiful.
He says, this is Sam.
Dave Jackson.
This is Sam speaking. I do not believe Libsyn will hire anyone for Podcasting 2.0 or add another tag unless Apple do. They have Dave Jackson who knows about Podcasting 2.0 and he left as Rob wanted nothing to do with Podcasting 2.0. What has changed since Dave left? Well, I didn't actually talk about that, so I can't speak to that.
And one thing has changed, less payroll.
1,000 sats from Nomad Joe in Florida. Joy, joke's on you. Okay. 3333 from Eric PP from the Boost CLI. Booberry, yes. Frankie Pate, and myself will be V for V live streaming the NFT MSP Culture Convergence Festival starting tonight at 5 p.m. and throughout the weekend to your favorite new podcast apps. Join and boost us for a full weekend of art, music, and technology from the Bitcoin and crypto community in Minnesota.
Min.
Got cut off. 3333 from Cole McCormick. RSS is really saving sovereignty. Oh, nice one. And here comes Salty Crayon on CurioCaster 2121 with the repeat of Welcome to Beef.com and 2121 with the repeat. So he basically, yes, it did come through on CurioCaster, so it must not have been reported. 1776 from Once Told Kyle, cry havoc and let loose the podcasting 2.0 dogs of war on legacy podcasting who still think Apple will be their savior. Apple doesn't care about podcasting anymore. Just ask Serial Season 4. Really? Did they? What do you mean they don't care? I think they care. Like
they didn't. Maybe they didn't promote it.
I don't know. Maybe. D's laughs.
I did see something about Serial Season 4, like the creator of it or the producer of it.
Yeah, said that
her own family didn't even know that it had been released or something.
Yeah, there you go. There's a lot of true crime these days.
It sure is.
777 from D's laughs. ITM, glad to be on time for the board meeting for once. Thank you. Chad F, 2777 boosts. Salty Crayon. Oh, this is all pre-stream. I play songs before the show starts, before you get here. 333 for Luke Wood, Devil's Hand. Sarah Jade, 1,000 sats from Chad F for Sarah Jade on the pre-stream. I played the Dorfels, another 1,000 sats. Salty Crayon, 555, the Row of Swans, Boosting Diamonds by the Dorfels, Salty Crayon, Pew Pew, and what is this? Salty Crayon, 1776, Happy Labor Day Weekend, Boardroom. Is it Labor Day Weekend? I guess it is.
It is.
Adam, I know this is breaking the rules, but that podcasting kit would be a good pitch towards the people that live stream. Emily Whitehurst of of Survival Guide. That's a Valueverse artist. For example, live streams her music 3 times a week on Twitch. If you have a great mic that not only sounds great, but looks awesome on camera, you have another whole niche of people that would buy it, especially if anyone can get their hands on it. Just a thought. In the pipe. Go podcasting.
Yeah. So how is the Curry One going to be? Is it going to be a beautiful mic to look at?
Oh, it's going to be so beautiful.
Okay.
Yes. Now it's a spitter. That's when you talk into the tube, but we're also going to do a valve mic that'll be a side talker. Dvorak has a whole strategy.
I split the difference. I'm not straight on, but I'm not all the way to the side. I'm like at a 45 aiming at me, aiming at the side of my mouth.
Hooktaw.
Is that what they call it?
I'm going to call it the Hooktaw One. Yes.
The Hooktaw. Yes.
I got you.
I'm off axis.
Yes, right. And we hit the delimiter. So you're up.
We got Chris Bernardick. Chris did a $5 a month subscription through PayPal. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that, brother.
Yeah, very cool.
And that is all the one-offs.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, we're really tearing it up. let's see. Let me resort this by oldest to newest so I can have my sanity. And we'll do some boosts. Sir Brian of London, 11,948 to Castomatic.
Nice.
Episodes.fm should not use the GUID because that would mean actually putting in some effort to look it up. Instead, you base 64 the RSS feed URL straight from a pod ping because you can make it sound like you're solving a cryptic puzzle from an ancient civilization.
Okay. Well, okay. Just tell me, how is this working? How is it happening? How is he doing it?
Doing what?
The lookups. He's not using GUIDs. He's using.
No, because then he's not using a GUID because you don't have to do the resolving. You can just do it on the fly with. And it doesn't really matter for that type of service because he's not trying to find a canonical show, like in a way that links things together. So for a service like that, all that matters is you only need the feed URL. You don't need to resolve it back to a thing.
And you base 64 encode it just to get rid of all the slashes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Like URL encode. It's URL safe base 64 encoding. Yeah.
Oh, sexy.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice. Mere Mortals, Kyron, through the Fountain app, he says, great song. Heard it on podcasting 2.0. V for V is the future.
That's right. Got that straight.
McDermott 6, 2222 through True Fans. McDermott 6 says, wanted to boost yesterday while listening at the beach, but didn't have any service. So listened on a 1.0 app that had downloaded it already. Thanks for everything you guys do.
Got it. It happens.
He gave us the 1-2 punch.
1-2-1-2.
Genonymous, 3,400 sats through Fountain. No note. Thank you, Genonymous. Appreciate that. Salty Crayon. Happy Labor Day weekend, Boardroom. Did you already get this one?
I think I did, yeah.
That was really early. That was really early.
Yeah, you must have Comic Strip Blogger next.
Did you do, let's see, you did Chad F. I miss not seeing all my PC 2.0 friends.
I don't think I read that one. No.
Huh. I'm confused as to the order of operations here. Oh, this is, okay, 24. Okay, guys, I see where I'm at. Chad S. says 3333 through Fountain. He says, I miss not seeing all my PC 2.0 and No Agenda friends now that Fountain added Noster. I know, it will get fixed, but even during beta testing, I was still using the pre-Noster version so I could see what people were saying about what they were listening to, but now it's just Noster Bros, sad face.
So it turns out, I think, that you can zap a show from Noster and then the splits are handled by Fountain somehow? So it splits it up?
I don't know. So Oscar said that they have a crash bug in their audio engine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that for sure. Fountain's been crashing. I haven't had any problems.
I have no problems with the new Fountain. It works fine. Interesting.
It has crashed. Maybe it's because I'm on test flight.
Yeah. Well, I'm on Android. So who knows what you're using compared to me.
Maybe so. Because my fountain has been like, it's been crashing in the background just by waking up and doing background checks.
Oh, that sucks. Oh, so I hate that.
I've been waiting for, he said he thinks they've got it fixed and they're about to push out a fix.
Yeah. No, when I say I hate that, I hate it for Oscar. That's me too, a sucky bug to have. Yeah.
So I hope to get a little bit more experience with what he's done here soon so I can talk intelligently about it. Gene Bean, 2222 through Castomatic, he says, I wonder if maybe podcasting 2.0, the people involved, not necessarily this show, could have a booth and a general presence at scale this coming year. It'd be a great fit audience-wise. https://www.sociallinuxexpo.org.
Let's send Dame Jennifer.
Booth babe. Yes. Booth
babe. Yes. You're up, Dame Jen. You're up. Hi.
You're on deck.
Have you heard about podcasting 2.0? I'm Jen.
Here's a button.
She needs a badge. Hi, I'm Jen. Ask me about podcasting 2.0.
And a basket full of buttons.
Yep.
Large buttons.
Yeah. And a t-shirt cannon.
You walk up to the booth, it's like boom. You get a cannon t-shirt right to the face.
Sorry, Jen. We love you. A boost babe. Yeah, that's right. Chat up.
Boost babe.
Boost babe. That's right.
Pod home. It's 50,000 sats.
Whoa. Nice.
Through Podcast Guru. He says, this is Barry.
Barry, Dutch Master.
Dutch Master Barry says, podhome.fm, the most modern podcast hosting company, would be honored to be included in the podcasting starter pack. And give six months free hosting for podcasters. Go podcasting.
You know what's been amazing? Hold on.
Go podcasting!
Almost every single company has reached out to me and said, yeah, we'd love to offer that. We'd love to be a part of the starter pack.
That's great.
Yeah,
That's great.
All varying offers. But, Dvorak's telling me, shut up. Stop promoting it. It's going to take a few months. So you better have it done by Christmas, bro.
Bruh.
Yeah.
6 months free hosting. That's
pretty good.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Do I hear a year?
The gauntlet has been laid down. That's right.
It has been slapped down.
Gene Everett, 1234 through Fountain, says, Noster sucks. Not really happy seeing this move. He said, not really happy seeing this move by Fountain. Oh, well.
Well, give it a shot, man. Boost. Yeah, really. Give it a shot. Let's see how it shakes out, you know? And we get Activity Bridge, Pub Bridge and stuff. Let's see how it works out. I'm withholding my own comment.
I'm not going to say anything critical about Noster until I get my own activity pub stuff fixed.
Good point.
That is very hypocritical.
Yeah, good point.
McDermott 6, back again, 2222, says, wanted to boost yesterday. Well, it's the same boost. Why do we get that twice?
I don't know.
He did a double boost.
Yeah.
Mere Mortals, Kyron, 1111. Satchel Richards through Fountain. He says, the future of media is small. Yes. Thank you, Adam. You just encapsulated my jumbled thoughts into a simple sentence. Stealing this for future use.
No, please. It's open source. Go for it. I'll make a GitHub entry.
Check the GitHub repo.
That's right.
Andrew. Maybe Andrew Grum. Let's see. He said 2222 through the Grum. Wherever app.
That's Grum.
He says, maybe it was a cigarette. Enjoyed hearing James in the board meeting. In reference to episode 189, AP in umbilical is intriguing. We'll have to take a look at AP. Peace.
Oh, okay. Ed Grummet on the case. Careful, everybody. That guy invents stuff.
Kyron again through Mere Mortals podcast, through Fountain 1111. He says, no meetings is the secret to a good life. We've been misled by 8 hours of sleep, clean food, outdoors, exercise, and a loving family.
Yeah. Yes.
Where am I? Let's see. I lost my place. Oh, Chris Lass. Here we go. Chris from Jupiter. From Jupiter Broadcasting. 20,000 sats through Fountain.
Hey, nice. Thank you, Chris.
He says, sending a little love from the new Fountain update. Well, thank you, Chris. Appreciate that, brother.
Nice. What a great show this week in Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. I love that show.
Yeah. Chris, everything he does is high quality.
Yeah, it is. I hope people boost him. Boost him. Keep that show alive, people.
Comic strip blogger, Delimiter, 26,000 sats through Fountain. He says, howdy, Bitcoin bros, Adam and Dave. This time I'd like to recommend a financial podcast from www.dhunplugged.com by my Slavic bro, Dvorak, and his Jewish friend from Florida, financial advisor Andrew Horowitz. Yo, sincerely, your fellow Bitcoin bro, CSB. P.S. Adam, could you tell your podcast bro, Dvorak, to implement at least one Podcasting 2.0 feature, transcripts? It's vital because of LLM revolution.
Okay. I have actually reached out to Horowitz, and he's on a trip right now, and then I'll be on a trip next week, and we get back together, and I'm going to see if I can help him get some 2.0 features going.
Into DH Unplugged?
Yeah, of course.
Can they start by just getting off Feedburner?
I think he's off Feedburner. He said that he was off Feedburner.
I'm going to check right. Yeah. I'm going to check right now.
Just check right now. Let's see Plugs. If he's off. Yep, you got it. You going in? You delving in? Are you doing a SQL query? Select
asterisk from feeds where equal. Let's see. dhunplug.com/feed. That looks like it goes to PowerPress.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
you good. Did it. He did it.
Success.
I mean, if they got PowerPress,
then he's good to go.
He's got the namespace.
He's got everything in there. What's wrong with you, Horowitz?
Hey, wait a second. Look at this. I'm looking at this feed right now. Let me just give you a rundown.
Oh boy.
The DH Unplugged feed has, and I quote from the feed.
The feed.
Podcast colon license tag.
The feed.
Podcast colon medium.
Oh.
Podcast colon podping uses podping equal true. Where are the items? I'm looking for items. They got a lot of 2.0 tags in here now.
Oh,
brother.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Podcast episode tag. Podcast GUID. Oh man, they're 2.0 compliant all the way down.
But he doesn't have a transcript yet though.
Negative.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
He doesn't have the useful ones, just the ones that are not.
Well, hey, it's a start. Good. Okay, I'll be talking to him. We'll take care of
that. He's even got the podcast license tag. The podcast license that he's declared is 2022 plus. Don't know what that means.
Okay, but he's good to go.
We'll get there. Baby steps.
Yeah.
Monthly, we got Michael Kimmerer, $5.33.
Thank you.
Dreb Scott, $15.
Thank you.
Pedro Goncalves, $5. And that's our group.
Thank you all very much for supporting the Podcast Index, because that's what it all goes toward, podcastindex.org. You can go to that website if you're listening right now. Go down to the bottom. There's a donate button, a big red one. You hit that and you can send us some PayPal, or we recommend a modern podcast app, podcastapps.com, and send us a boost. We'll read it on the air. We're happy to do so. And thank you so much for supporting this podcast. None of the money goes to Adam and Dave. Stays on the node, the Bitcoin. We use that. If you need liquidity, hit me up, adammccurry.com. And we just keep a nice cache of cash so that when everyone stops caring about us, the index will continue on for many years in the future.
Yep.
That would be the idea. All right. So I'm off to Mexico on Monday, and then Friday I will be doing a board meeting. What are you doing this weekend, brother?
It's Labor Day weekend. I've got to put a radiator in my daughter's Nissan.
Oh, sexy. Nice.
Tomorrow. Oh, let me tell you what I did.
You'll be wrenching this weekend.
So this is how I consistently shoot myself in the foot. Last Sunday, she brought it over for me to do an oil change. Change the oil. Things look great. Checked her radiator fluid. It's a little low. Topped that off. And then when I was crawling up under there to put the oil filter in, I noticed that the bumper, her front bumper was, this is like a 2008 Nissan Xterra.
Yeah.
The front bumper had some screw holes with screws were missing. So it was kind of flopping around.
Like so a jalopy. Like, your kid's got a jalopy.
I'm like, hey, if she wants a nice car, she can buy it herself.
Hell yeah.
It didn't look bad. You just kind of
I'll just put a screw in there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly what I thought.
And so you screwed like, okay, into the radiator, didn't you?
And I put three screws in the bottom of the radiator.
Good work.
Mm-hmm. So she calls me the next day. She's like, man, Dad, my car is overheating. I don't know what's going on. And I get there and I was like, oh man, that's weird. So I'm like, it's low on fluid. So I start pouring fluid in and there it came right back out.
Yes. So where did you get the radiator? You pick up a secondhand radiator? You bought one on Amazon? How does that work?
No, my dad works for Napa Auto Parts.
Oh, nice. Oh, very good. Very good.
Yep.
You got a family member in the biz. Love it.
So now I got to fix the problem that I created for myself.
Yay. All right, everybody. That's what we do here. We fix the problems we create for ourselves. It is Podcasting 2.0. We are the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Thank you, Boardroom. You guys were great today. We'll see you next Friday right here on Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
You've been very dumpy, dear.
Really?